You're listening to the Barry Egan Tapes here on News Talk. I'm Barry Egan from the Sunday Independent, and I'm talking with Camille O'Sullivan. Camille, you've described yourself as a kind of schizophrenic, half-French, half-Irish Protestant, born in London, raised in Cork. How does your schizophrenia manifest itself?
I feel very blessed that my dad decided to bring us back to Cork and raise us. I look French, you know, like my mum. And I suppose, you know, having become a singer, it was something my mother talked to me about, this, not in a schizophrenic way, but that there is the good black humour, the slight shyness and the repression that an Irish person has until it escalates after having a drink or two, or, you know, in joyousness. And then the French emotion, and maybe not taking yourself so seriously, which maybe a French person does more. So I used to watch it in my parents, and they're wonderful, the two of them. My mother is highly emotional. My dad isn't cold. He's lovely and warm, but it's two different people, and it's in me. I can see it.
Which is the more powerful part of you?
I'm not sure. I think it's 50-50. But when I'm on stage, I utilize both very much, in the sense I see a great, in all the singers and people, and I know in Ireland, there's a wonderful vulnerability and openness and being friendly and talking about anything, you know, like big babies that can sit down and chat away to each other. And I find I love bringing that to the stage. I remember years ago trying to hide that, and I must be more enigmatic and mysterious. But my mother said, "You must be more mystery, Camille. You are crazy like your daddy." And I tried to hide it, to be kind of more interesting. And then my friend said, "Look, Cam, you are a bit bonkers. You know, you're quite loving and you have a funny sense of humour. As you get older and you go, oh God, you know, you're not fitting into things the way you'd like to, and your hair looks a bit crazy halfway through a gig. It's about unraveling and actually embracing the kind of joy and darkness and madness in yourself." And that part of you say a schizophrenic thing. But as a performer, I feel that very much. I always feel very embarrassed when I come on stage, you know, because you give yourself over and you just, I believe in kind of just embracing performing. And then when I come off, I go, oh my God, I get so Irish. I go, what the hell did I do? That's so embarrassing.
But in terms of artistic expression, you're leaving that kind of channel open.
Oh, yeah.
For being vulnerable, like anything can come in, you know, like especially some of the dark artists you're drawn to. I'm thinking of like Judy Garland. She lost her mind.
Yeah. Oh, I'm well on the way.
I'm not saying you're losing your
mind. No, I think I'm well on the way, Barry. You don't need to tell me. I think, well, I, not that you sell your soul to the devil, but I do think, like anything, when I was an architect or painting, or like I'm a hard worker, and I do believe of putting my whole heart and soul into it. I don't really get the money aspect of it. I don't really actually, like, I'm someone who has always been fascinated with the look of those great stars like Ava Gardner and Judy Garland, and that retro look. In my own life, as I sit in front of you, I have a bit of lipstick on. I don't really bother with, I love the illusion on stage. I love that fantasy. My life is quite divided. I know my private life, where I keep my child off Twitter and Facebook and social media, and my own life, but then I lead this other life, which is of all the things I'd like to be, far more sexier, far more funnier, far more crazier, which is what you know, I couldn't really do that stuff as an architect without people going, please design my house, but keep away from me. But I can on stage. And I think I've realized it's really important. There's a line, actually, what is it in Leonard Cohen? There's a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in. I'm a big fan of Cohen. I'm a big fan of Bowie. And that line really speaks to me, because I used to kind of try and cover those cracks, or try and seal them over, or not be too embarrassing, or I'm from Cork, so I chat too much, or whatever. I think it's very important for people to embrace all the little parts of themselves and all the things that maybe are right or wrong to you. And in the shows, essentially, what I've chosen when I choose pieces is to show very much 0 to 100%, like dark to light. Because I think life is kind of like...
Why are you drawn to the dark side of it?
I don't know. I think a lot of people are, in a cathartic way of kind of sharing and having an empathy for other people's feelings. Like, there's a song in the show, Lullaby, which is recently I started singing it, a Billy Joel song, which is about a child. There's another song similar to it, Look, Mummy, No Hands, which is about losing a mother. Those songs, to me, they're kind of pivotal in a set, because other songs like In These Shoes, which you could see on Jules Holland, was great and vivacious. But kind of songs that... you, whether you're an audience and you really feel that empathy or feeling in the room. Sometimes what I love about performing, it's not singing at people, it's very much conversation in a way, sometimes people ask me, like a girl last night in Carrick and Shannon, and I said, oh, how do you choose songs and how do you learn how to your voice and all the rest? And I was like saying, well, it's really like you're in conversation with one person, truthfully having quite an honest conversation. So, you know, you talked about that thing of vulnerability. That was kind of, I never knew I wanted to be a singer in my teens. I wanted to paint. That was a thing that my sister and I talked about recently. She said, I never even knew you wanted to do that until your late 20s when you totally switched your career.
But even friends of you, wasn't a friend texted you a few years ago that it's great that you followed your dream? And
yeah.
And you said dream, I feel like unlocked Pandora's box.
Well, yeah, I think anybody, I think there's many different types of people out there in any job and in, like, say, this artistic route, which is quite gypsy-like and nomadic and could be quite lonely at times and quite amazing because you end up doing the thing you love. Many performers fall into different brackets and I tend to fall into the thing of being, like, well, you call me once a reluctant star, and I thought that was a really good title, actually, because there is a reserve, there is an absolute fear of going up on stage. And yet the moment you cross the stage is the moment you feel the most present in your life and the most connected. And you're actually sorting out a lot of things in your head, in your life. More breakups or the bad stuff that happens in your life, the better a singer you become. That's what I've learned over the years. Because you have a, you know, if you look at Judy Garland or Jacques Brel, any of those people, or recently we did the Shane McGowan gig, those people lived a life and they can sing because of the life they lived. You know, I saw Patti Smith recently in Nick Cave. I love them. And they just really bring themselves to the table, and how they sing is in their own voice. So it's just, you can choose to go down an avenue as a performer and kind of make it look glossy and, you know, picket fence and very enjoyable. And my sister said, why are you doing all that dark stuff? Like, Jesus. And then she said to me recently, it seems to be working because all these people are turning up. I said, maybe they're feeling it too. I mean, a lot of people after a gig will come and say, like last night there was people and we had great conversations about things they've gone through. And I learn a lot from the audience. Like after a CD signing, they'll either pass on information about something you didn't think about in the song, or some they'll say, oh, have you heard this? And you can meet the most extraordinary people. So that's kind of been one of the biggest joys actually in performing, is actually connecting with those people afterwards and hearing real life.
You mentioned your sister. As kids, you and Victoria used to put on Swan Lake for your parents.
I know, exhausting them.
What was that like?
Well, we lived in a small village, Passage West, quite isolated, Church of Ireland, kind of had to hide on our way running up a back route to the church.
And Why did you have to hide?
Well, it would have been quite a strong Catholic kind of town and mum was French and, I mean, they're lovely. Like, I met a lot of people. I met somebody in Corkew Theatre and we said to each other, oh, where do you live? Because I boarded for a while and she said, I can't believe it, you're my next door neighbour. I've never met you. So that's how surreal my life was growing up. We lived in this wonderful old house that my dad kind of did the backup of, and we kind of faced away from the main street and we put these performances on and made little tickets. And we were all the different characters. And I mean, my mother said she only had two children, but she said she felt like a 12. And my dad said, actually, recently, he said, you know, he'd kind of guided me to architecture. And he said, I felt bad in a way because how did I know when you were being a little rat in Swan Lake or being the prince or that you really wanted to do this? And, you know, and he said, you were incredibly shy when you were little, but you loved becoming other things. So it was funny to see it from his point of view. And even years later, I mean, mum was always kind of listening to us singing in church and stuff, but dad, when we did the Brel show in the 90s in Andrews Lane Theatre, he came to see it. And it was a real, I was revisiting my past in a way, because these were the records they used to take out of their cupboards alongside the Beatles,
was that like
and Deep Purple
and things like that.
Well, yeah, they did Debussy and all the rest, but Brel, both of them were big lovers of them, you know. I mean, I badly kind of glued two records together because a hole was missing in the middle.
But when you
my mother never forgave me.
When you did Swan Lake as kids, did the fate of Odette and Siegfried, they died, did that shape your romantic vision going forward?
I think those wonderful, I mean, ballet was something my sister and I both did, and music. And I feel very, like, that's something I've introduced my own daughter to. And just purely for the presence of knowing how to move and the joy of it. But all those, like, if you think of any of the great, wonderful stories in those fairy tales or Hans Christian Andersen or the ballet stories or Shakespeare, it is the wonderful theatre and the great songs and those dark stories. There is great darkness, but through that there is brilliant light. And it's about a discovery in yourself. And what I loved about it was it was just through movement. I was like, but that's just people on these amazing kind of, they're standing on their toes and they have these incredible costumes and it seems terrifying. I find I still get very moved when I watch those kind of ballets because that's like expressing yourself in, my child now watches that going like she's totally enraptured by it. And I do think another thing that happened around the same time, because recently I had to return to Cork Opera House. I did a big gig with the orchestra and I remembered I'd been the little rat in Sleeping Beauty from Joan Denise Moriarty's on the stage. There was my first appearance. But I remember at the same time, this incredible concert pianist who became my piano player, Jan Schaap, who ran the School of Music, who was incredible, came from Czechoslovakia. And I was thinking of him. And then I remembered he was saying, when you play the piano, do not think of the timing of the notes. You are now a wolf and you are in the forest. And then I was dreaming, thinking, oh, my God, this is way how I talk to the band. And they're looking at me like I have two heads. And I told them this and they said, Camille, it makes absolute sense. So I think what's interesting is all these different people, like you say about that thing of playing with my sister, creating these shows in the living room. And this world and truly believing, like we used to put the record on and we did the whole thing and turn it over and we'd give them drinks during the interval, typed it up. But all those people I met on the way, like the person who taught me that or doing those things, I can't kind of disconnect that when I'm on stage because everything feels that there was a moment that brought you in your weird little way. Like, why do you, like a lot of people, when they come to the gig, they get a bit freaked out because they soon realise it's not just singing. I'm inhabiting every character and it's a story within 3 or 4
minutes.
But when
you go off stage, you're not like...
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, they laugh at me afterwards because they said you're such a chatter, you know, but I don't chatter during my gigs. But the show's definitely being people on a journey. Like there was some people who were like, I don't understand what this is about. And then, because when we did this years ago, when I first started doing these kind of shows, and it was off the back of seeing wonderful performers like Agnes Brunel in the Da Club, who was a big inspiration, and of course being inspired by Bowie and stuff and all his chameleon like qualities. Like we're trying to get a gig in the wonderful North Great Georgia Street with Dorothy and Eddie, who ran it there and used to leave a pair of pyjamas for me to go upstairs and see in the Cobalt Cafe, you know, wonderful. And then Bewley's, but at the start they wouldn't, they said, oh, we don't understand what you're trying to do. Can't you just do songs that people like to do at weddings? And I said, I'm not interested in that. I want to do this stuff, Nick Cave
really
and Radiohead. No, not at all.
In weddings, full stop.
No. Well, I did them, but I used to learn one verse of Money, Money, Money and then just repeat it all the time.
If you had stayed on as an architect, do you think you would have ended up, you know, married and living in Dorky?
No, God, no.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with being married and living in
Dorky. No, it's fantastic. I actually probably have I'd have maybe a better secure life. Like, I'm not sure about myself still. I wouldn't be the most... I mean, I am someone who heads towards the things I'm scared of, and I am scared of stuff, but I do think get on with it and live your life because you have this one moment. But with architecture, I loved it. But I think all those years in college, I was absolutely obsessed by design, and I still am. And I'm very lucky because if you end up playing, you know, amazing places like Sydney Opera House or like Spiegel Tents, and, you know, you end up playing the venues you actually were inspiring to you, that's quite incredible. I wasn't the best at like saying the moments of like engineering kind of meetings and technical details. Like I was like, you know, I'd be fading fast, but I feel all that training still is very much in me. But I don't think I was ever going to be.
Is that because you're
a person that would settle
too much of a gypsy free spirit?
I think so. Yeah. They always say that actors and artists are children who, you know, are refusing to grow up. And
how's that for your daughter?
Probably great because I can play Lego and make gingerbread houses for her and little mouse castles. And like, I mean, I met one of my favorite tutors the other day, Shelley McNamara, who's from Grafton Architects, who are doing the VNS Biennale at the moment. And herself and Yvonne Farrell are just incredible people and very inspiring artistically. But I met her outside the creche and she was so sweet because she reminded me what I was like as an architect. I'd forgotten that, you know, she was like, and you made these things, and I remember that. And it was like another person she was talking about. And I actually went home and I thought, you know, in your life, why shouldn't you go back to do something or try something different? You know, like a friend of mine, Fergal, who plays piano, said to me, you're still an architect, you're just not doing it. And I had forgotten that.
Does your mother ever despair of you and go, we spent all this money on architects?
I don't know. I mean, I think every parent is, I mean, mum and dad are really so supportive. And I did resist for a long time to leave because I thought, God, they put me through college. But I think in the end, you know, when they come to the gigs, and mum gets really, she can hardly look because she's so shy. I mean, she's so reserved. She always like, you go and, yeah, I like to stay in the shadows while you talk about.
Are you like that when you meet people out, like fans and
got fans? I don't know. Nobody would recognise me because I don't, you know, put my makeup on. They're like putting my posters. Who's that? I'm like, it's me. I'd have a lot of her in me actually, and I think that's the thing of you saying a schizophrenic thing. It's having a slight social. I didn't realise it was a social anxiety. Someone had to put a name on it, but there is a complete shyness. And yet I've met other performers. I've met wonderful performers who I really like. And it was really nice to hear that they have that too. And that gives you great comfort because then you don't feel so, you know, nuts. Because I'd find it a strange thing to step on stage. I think it's a strange thing. I'm not a person who goes, hey, look at me. I'm actually like, there's an exit sign up here in this room. And probably that would be the first thing. And if somebody asked me to, if I'm at a party and I see somebody and I know this thing, but she's saying I'm out that door because I'm just not that kind of girl. I'd love, like, it's
what
not
kind
about
of girl
not,
are you?
I'm not sure. I love the whole Irish thing of people singing in bars and pubs. But I find that terrifying. I find that, like, I find there's something, I like big lights on me so I can't see anything. I love being loving to people. I'm very thankful and appreciative for anybody who turns up at the gig. Like last night in Carrick and Shannon, I was laughing at the end. I was running up and down the aisle, clapping their hands, going, we made it. But, and also because I realise I'm quite feral on stage. You see, I used to think it was embarrassing to be emotional on stage. I used to think
where did that come from?
Well, shyness, I think. It's just like any Irish person. We're quite reserved. We're very chatty, but, and I think maybe having a bit of a drink lets that all loose. And what kicks in for anybody, whether on stage or not, is as you get older, I think people are always not trying to be something they're not. But I definitely think what's happening, it's crossing into my stage life, is just being who you are.
Yeah.
Like I do think, especially as a woman, I go, you know, yes, I can dress sexily, but I'm going to put on dungarees now because you're annoying me if you want me to be like a chanteuse who's this. Or somebody said, you didn't wear your fishnets. Like, I do think it's really important as a woman to have, you know, maybe I'm singing all these men songs on stage and some of them are women. And the whole thing to the shows are about every aspect of yourself, vulnerability, angry, you know, that you have the quality to be evil, the quality to be a loving partner, a crazy man. That's about becoming different things. And a lot of women I've met after the shows and guys, you know, I always think, oh, Jesus, do they hate it when I'm like rolling on the ground doing God's Away in Business by Tom Waits. And the girls say it's really liberating. They said, I feel liberated that I don't have to be dressed in a certain way that, you know, and I've really found through the years, because when I started, the unraveling was within me, but I never showed it.
Why was that?
Because I think I was too young to know that that was okay, that I was trying to learn, oh, I love a retro look, but I didn't realise a retro look makes people think that you only sing certain types of songs. Whereas when you look at Patti Smith or PJ Harvey, they dress in a certain way and it kind of lets you know straight away, you know, sometimes it can be very sexy or androgynous or whatever. And also through the years, when it started, probably doing old stuff and then realising, you know, all the stuff that was in my record collection, my mum pointed out, like, you love Radiohead and you love Cave and that's the people you love. And they're all storytelling songs too. So, you know, and Bowie, why aren't you doing that? So I think a lot of people are surprised sometimes when they come to the gigs. They've maybe seen you 20 years ago when you were doing maybe a little more old fashioned. And I think there's no use to, for me and anybody who does this business, you don't do it unless you know you want, you're enjoying it and you want to do it and you have to change, you have to do something new. Because if not, you're just reiterating the same thing. And that's what I found, like I was joking to you about the thing with mishaps in your life or things. Performing your life is public and private, and sometimes it veers that you live more of your life on the stage in front of people than you do with a partner.
Are you better on stage than off it?
I think I'd be better on stage, yeah. I think it takes its toll when you tour off stage because, you know, even like you do a 6-week tour, it's great, but you're up at 7, then 2 into the place, till 1 finish up at 7 doing that thing.
But do you find real life difficult?
Yeah, I probably do.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not in a bad way. I'd enjoy myself.
What's a good way about finding real life difficult? Like, it's the actual real life.
Real life is probably just shyness. The stage, you can be anything.
But was the shyness ever crippling?
Oh, yeah. But I think it is for
how,
any...
How crippling?
Well, you're still going in front of audiences and you're terrified. Well, I mean, when I was little...
But when the door would ring, you'd hide behind the curtain. If the phone would ring, you wouldn't
answer. I wouldn't
answer
the door, yeah.
What other thing? You mean, was that...
I can't... Like, you emails, said you were hiding because you're emails are really bad. Like, a lot of people probably want to kill me because I don't answer
emails. Yeah, you don't answer your phone.
I'm sorry, yeah.
I wasn't sure.
I'm really sorry. My sister said, you've got to sort that, she says. And I felt embarrassed by that.
Well, what was that about, all this hiding?
Don't know.
Does it go back to being Protestant in West Cork?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, your next door neighbour didn't even know who you were.
Well, the other next door neighbour knew us very well, whose birthday party is coming up this weekend. We're hanging out, but the one who's kind of to the right didn't. I don't know. You know, you have two children in a household. One, my sister is far stronger and more tougher. And then my dad said to me recently, he said, you know, if you weren't so sensitive and you weren't so vulnerable or, you know, maybe so full on, you wouldn't be a good singer because that's what you bring to it. And I think a lot of performers sometimes think if you get it all sorted out and get hypnotized, it'll go.
Yeah.
Do you know, what you try and keep off is like drugs and drink because that's the other side where people
the
think,
Judy oh, Garland,
I better do that.
Just to wrap up, there's one question that I find, this has always surprised me and it's almost, it shocks me.
Okay.
But why don't you write your own songs?
God, I don't know, because I'm scared there'll be... I don't know. I think it's probably avoidance or something, but I have to get my act together. And I know that I said the last time. I think it almost needs... I need, like, if there's anybody out there, Barry knows somebody who can do half writing with me to help me. Yeah, I need to do it. I think the trouble is, and I think... Sorry, I'm going to defend myself a little because I always feel bad in the country of...
I'm not having a go at you.
No, I know you're not. You're very supportive of me and I really appreciate that. I always feel in this wonderful country of singer-songwriters and we have so many incredible ones, I always kind of felt, oh my God, where am I in that, singing other people's songs, until I realised, you know, not the likes of Elvis or Ella Fitzgerald, but people who take other people's songs and you make them your own, like an actress... doing a monologue by Shakespeare, you have all these different actresses. That's what I was kind of doing with songs. But now it's the second time we've talked about it. And I think it's time. I mean, my eye is twitching now, so I know that's telling me I should be doing it.
Listen, so have you any gigs coming up?
I do. I have, what's going on? I have Kilkenny Arts Festival, the 17th of August. And then, of course, the beautiful venue that I love so much, the Old Victorian Olympia Theatre, November 24th, which is a Saturday. And that's just after us doing our UK tour of a new show called Where Are We Now, which is kind of looking at Leonard Cohen and Bowie and Cave. So I'm very excited about that.
Will you just finish? Will you just pick a song that means something to you?
Yeah. I mean, there's several. I think this song... In My Life by the Beatles, and maybe because it was when I was little and I was rooting through all my parents' record collection, and it's kind of maybe where I got my deep voice from singing along to Lennon and McCartney, but I just remember very happily my parents and my sister singing to this, so that has wonderful memories for me.
Camille, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure. I'll come back with my own one soon.
Stop it.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone and some remain. All these places have their moments with lovers and friends. I still can recall. Of all the
people and things that went before. I know I'll often stop and think about them.